Our Bible reading is taken from Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 8, which is found on page 1135 in the church Bibles. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to Christ.
Thank you for reading that, Robin. Let me greet you once again. Good morning, church. For some of you, that greeting might seem a little bit strange. Why would I greet the church building and have the congregation reply? But for those who have been here for a while, know that this area of the building we call the main meeting area, because it is the place where the church gather. And the church is the people that God has called, that God has adopted into his family. It would be like me going to a family gathering and saying, good morning, Bruce's, and my family would respond, good morning, Chris. As Christians, we belong to God's family, with Jesus being our firstborn brother. But who is in that family? The family of the church. How do people join that family? And how do we feel about people outside of the family of church? Let me pray. Father, I do thank you that you are good and that your mercies endure forever. Thank you that you've called us, redeemed us, you know us by name. Thank you for your word and for the truth that it contains, and help us to understand it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. So here is the situation we find ourselves in Romans today. For some context, we've been going through this letter in our Sunday services and in our home groups, and some of us even in our daily readings. And we're following a course written by Andrew Ollerton. And in this course, there is a picture of the whole of Romans being like a mountain. I think we're going to see that on the screen now. And last week, we got to right to the top of the mountain with a wonderful view out from chapter 8. And then as we begin today in chapter 9 and chapters 10 and 11, we're now entering into the clouds of mystery. And that mystery has to do with the questions I asked earlier. So let me remind you that those are: who is in the family of God? How do people join that family? And how do we feel about people who are outside the family of the church? So to answer those three questions, we're going to look at this passage and we're going to see three different choices: Paul's choice, Israel's choice, and God's choice. So before we get there, though, as I said earlier, today is Mission Gift Day. And we have been looking at what our partners have been doing in their sphere of influence. And as a church, we have been praying for them. We've been choosing to use our finances so they can continue doing what they do. We want people to hear the gospel beyond where we can be. So we send other people out with prayer, with finance, and sometimes with emotional support. We do this because we want people all around the world to know the good news of the gospel. We want them to be a part of God's family, to be part of the redeemed of God, which is the same reason this letter was written by Paul to the Roman believers. And so as we come to this chapter, we can glance back to the greatness of the previous few verses, explaining that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But something weird has happened. We've come to the strange outcome of Israel, seemingly God's chosen people, but now not in the family of God, not in the family of the church. And even those who tried to follow the law, the sacrifices, the covenant, they had not been able to use that method to join the family. Has the nation that God chose now become unchosen? Now, before we find out, we need to see the heart of Paul and the choices that he chooses to make. So Paul's choice looks a bit like this. We begin this passage seeing Paul's choice about the people outside the family of God. And he begins with a vow that allows us to have no doubt that he's not being metaphorical or speaking in general terms, but rather he means what he says. Verse 1 says, "I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit." Five phrases saying, this is going to be the truth. What a sentence. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear someone begin a sentence with, "in all honesty," or "I'm going to tell you the truth," I have one of two thoughts. Either they've been lying to me already, and now they're only going to start speaking the truth, or they're about to lie to me and say something that's not true. But this is not the way it is with this passage. Paul is about to say something that seems so unbelievable that he has to weigh it down with vows, even involving both Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And what he's about to say must be really, really hard to believe. But it's still true. So what sounds like a lie, but not a lie, is verses 2 and 3. "I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel." Here is this impossible truth. And what he's saying is that if it was possible, he would lose his salvation in order for other people of Israel to gain theirs. He would choose to give up being with God forever if it meant that the nation could replace him in heaven. Paul's choice was love. He loved the nation of Israel. These simple verses speak so much into Paul's heart and allows us to see and understand why he did what he did. He loved them so much, and thinking about them, he has great sorrow and anguish. Sorrow and anguish. I looked up anguish, and anguish means severe mental or physical pain or suffering. The fact that the Israelite nation were not believing the gospel gave him severe mental pain or suffering. Paul loved this nation so much. We see it as we read through the book of Acts. In every town he went to, he always first went to the synagogue. He first went to try and convince the Jewish people about the good news of Jesus. He had a deep love for them. And even though they were the same people who were trying to imprison him, to stone him, they were trying to kill him. In all aspects, they should have been his greatest enemies. Yet he would choose hell rather than them having to go there. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Paul was not only willing to lay down his life, but is life in eternity. So let me ask you, and let me ask myself, how do we feel about people outside the family of the church? Do we love them above our own salvation, or even above our own lives? I don't know if I would give up my salvation even for my wife and children, and I love them dearly. By God's grace, though, I will tell them the gospel whenever I can, and I will live my life with them so they can know the truth and that they can follow God with me. How do I feel about someone I meet each day at school drop-off, or maybe at my local shop? Do I cry out and pray for my neighbors, my friends, and even those people who seem to be against me? Paul not only spoke these words, but lived with the actions associated with them. He shared the gospel with as many Jews as he could, in every circumstance, even when they would not listen. If they did not listen, he shared with every other person he met. He told Jews and Gentiles, Romans and Greeks, men and women. Paul devoted his life to sharing the gospel with the lost, even though in many cases, people hated him for it. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." We have the greatest news, the news that God created us to live with him forever. But each of us has failed God. We've chosen to live apart from his rule. And so he sent Jesus not only to be an example about how to live, but actually to take on himself our wrongdoings. And he paid the price by dying for us. He took everything that we do against God on himself. But he did not stay dead. On the third day, he rose again to new life. He spent 40 days on earth and then ascended into heaven. Sent down the Holy Spirit so that we can have right relationship with the Father and live with him today. And so that we can tell others about Jesus. And so that we and them can be with him forever. This leads us then to Israel's choice. Verse 4b to 5 says this: "Theirs is adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen." Israel, as a nation, had the perfect path to knowing God. They had the legal right, the adoption to sonship, which we've been learning about in our home groups. As a nation, they had seen the glory of God. They were the only nation to have had a number of covenants with God. God gave them the law and the temple, along with all his divine promises. Yet even with all of this, as a nation, they rebelled against God, and they chose other gods rather than serving the only true and living God. As the chosen nation, they had every opportunity, all the instructions needed to join God's true family. And the Old Testament shows how God reached out to them time and time and time and time again. And even though they were the chosen nation for service, many of them were not part of God's family. God even used that nation to bring Jesus, his son, the Messiah, into the world. And Paul, when writing that down, has to stop and give God glory and praise. And when speaking about Jesus, he said, "Who is God over all, forever praised. Amen." So what has that got to do with us today? Well, we see how Israel's choice in disobeying God led them away from his family. The same can be true in our own lives. There's an old Christian illustration, and I'm sure you've all heard this before, which says, just because you sleep in a garage doesn't make you a car. You all heard that before? not so many of you. I think often people, especially in traditionally Christian countries, have presumed their acceptance into God's family because of the families that they've been brought up in, because of the baptism they received at some age, or the fact that they attend church maybe seldom or often. Just because you sleep in a garage doesn't mean you're a car. Just because you attend church or come to church once or twice doesn't make you a Christian. The people of Israel were not in the family of God because they were born into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's family. And we are not in the family of God because of what we do or where we go. We are in God's family because we have died to self and have been raised to new life in Jesus, because we have the Holy Spirit within us, as Romans 8, 14 to 17 says. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we might also share in his glories. This then answers the question, who is in the family of the church? Only those whom God has adopted, those who have died to themselves and been raised to new life, with the Spirit of God living inside of us, testifying that we are God's children. We know that we know that we know that God has called us and made us his own. The Spirit tells us so. And this leads to the main issue in the next few chapters. And Andrew Ollerton does deal with this in the home group sessions. And what it is about is, if Israel was God's chosen people, why did they not automatically become part of that family? If from the previous chapter, nothing can separate us from God's love, then what separated them from his relationship with him? God did not unchoose a whole nation. There were just many that were never in the family. Those who were in the family could never be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And that leads us to our final point. God's choice. We heard that Paul's choice was to love people to the point of giving up his own salvation for them if he could. Israel's choice, however, was to reject God. Even though they were chosen for service, many were not chosen for salvation, which came to God's choice. And God's choice answers our final question, how do people join the family? Let's look at verses 6 to 8. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all were descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are the descendants of all of Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac and your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. How do we belong to God's family? Well, this verse tells us that God's word never failed. Not all who descended from Israel are Israel. Not everyone born into the Jewish nation are regarded as Abraham's offspring, but only those of promise. So what does that mean? What is this promise? Is this promise special words that we have to speak? Some sort of a sinner's prayer that we pray and that brings us to a place where we can be adopted? No. It's a promise by God. He chooses whomever he will choose. And he decides who will be in his family. And he calls them by name. And he has chosen them, us, if we are Christians, before time began. I can say that God chose me and placed my sins, past, present, and future, on the cross with Jesus before I was even born. And each of us can say the same thing, that who God has chosen, we can be confident that he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. But most people don't like that. We want to do something to deserve being saved. To say this and this reason is the way I became a Christian. This is the way that this is what I did in order to change God's heart and make him adopt me. It seems unfair. I mean, it seems like we should have more to do with it. But then we read these verses from chapter 9. So if you still have that open, turn down to verses 14 to 16. What shall we say then? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Let's jump ahead to verse 25 and 26. And as he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people. And I'll call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And in the very place where it is said to them, you are not my people, there they'll be called children of the living God. God calls people who are not his people as his people. He will have mercy on whomever he decides. It may seem unfair. In fact, it doesn't seem fair to us at all. But as our creator, God can choose whom he wants to choose. And he can call whomever he wants to be adopted into his family. As you read in the previous chapter, verses 29 to 30, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. God decides. And if you've heard the gospel and believe it to be true, if you live for God before yourself, then believe me, God chose you. He predestined you. He called, he justified, and he glorified you. What does that mean for our responsibility for those outside the family? If God decides who should be in and who should be out, why do we even bother having Mission Gift Day? Why do we do different outreach events? Because although the outcome does not depend on human desire or effort, but only on God's mercy, our obedience to God depends on us. God has called us to love our neighbors, to love those who might still be coming to know God and hear him calling them. We are given the command to work as an evangelist. We've been given the great commission to go into all the world and tell others the good news about Jesus. Like Paul, who longed to see people come to faith, who would even give up his salvation for them, he loved God more. He obeyed God by sharing the gospel in every town, in every way, to every person that he could. God calls us to do the same, to share the good news so that those whom God has called might hear his voice and join us in the family of God. Paul chose to love. Israel chose to reject. And God chooses to call all who would believe. I began this message with those three questions. Who is in the family of the church? How do people join that family? And how do we feel about people outside the family of the church? I hope that you can see that everyone can be in the family of the church because God desires nobody to be lost. And he has predestined and chosen the correct people from before time began. He calls those people he chooses so that they can follow him. And we join the family by hearing his voice, choosing to make him our Lord and trusting in the salvation he offers. This leads us to our obedience and dying to ourselves, living a new life in him because of his great love, mercy, and grace. We love our neighbors who are not in the family of God. We want to share with them the good news of the gospel. And there is nothing more important than being forever with God. And we should let as many people know as we can. This is our choice now. We can choose. If you've not been in God's family, you can choose to hear the voice of God and become part of his family, as he knows if you will or will not. If you're already in the family, we can choose love and obedience. Love others and obey God. One way of doing this, beyond the group of people that we can meet, is to support others doing the same ministry for the same reason. Those who share the gospel because they love those outside the family of God. And that is why we have Mission Gift Day. That is why we made these brochures for you. That is why once a month we hear from our partners that we support and pray for. And so can I encourage you today, as you think about God calling you into his family and loving those outside of the family, take some time to pray and consider supporting those who bring people into the kingdom of God, our fellow workers in the gospel. Let me pray before I hand back to Bart. Father, I do thank you that you are good and that you choose all those who should be in the kingdom. Thank you for calling us, calling out to us, allowing us to hear your voice. We pray that we would love you, serve you, and obey you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.